turn our hearts now to the scripture lesson for this Sunday morning. I realize that last Sunday we pre-announced, which is always dangerous in a church where the Holy Spirit supposedly has control, to pre-announce what you believe is going to happen. And our intention was to begin a short series at the request of some in the congregation on the subject of spiritual warfare. However, during the week in prayer and preparation, the Lord made clear to me that there was a matter on His heart that He wanted to bring before you today that is very, very, very crucial. And listening to the announcement, which I had no idea was going to happen today, the announcement about the Baptist Convention and what is happening there, it seems to me to make all the more meaningful why the Lord would have this message brought to this congregation on this particular Sunday morning. So again, emphasizing that this is the festival of the Holy Trinity and giving honor and dominion, praise and glory to the triune God, I read to you now from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 1, selected verses beginning with verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift. That's very crucial, that verse 7. You come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now we will turn over to verse 18. Well, let's start with verse 17. For Christ sent me, not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Thus far, the reading of our scripture lesson for today. Now, as most of you here with us this morning know, for this entire year thus far, we have been focusing on what we believe has been a revelation from Father God that we turn our attention in the preaching and teaching of His Word to the subject of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And we've all shared at our dialogue hours and at other times how through the years our church lives have been so focused on church and Christianity as church as we've known it, that the whole vast message of Jesus about the kingdom has been somewhat covered over. In fact, if you study the four Gospels clearly, Jesus taught very, very little about the church. But there's an imposing amount of scripture that Jesus taught his disciples and those who heard him about the kingdom of God. Now, on this Sunday, when we are thanking the Lord, particularly the Holy Spirit, for 21 years of consistent ministry in this congregation without interruption, we see that here as a miracle, because in so many congregations they are having to deal with the exchanging of ministers coming and going and messages being changed and emphases being enlarged upon or diminished. But here for 21 years there has been a consistent, unchanging devotion to the message of the truth of Almighty God. I must confess to you that in all the years of my ministry, which this year will number 58, I have thought very, very, very little about the ministry of the church and the kingdom of God. I've read, studied, learned a great deal about the ministry of the church in the Christian church, and the ministry as it is related outside to the world. But there is a profound principle that I am so anxious for you to receive today about the ministry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. I was reminded of this weeks ago when someone had mentioned to me that a relative of theirs was getting married. And I said, oh, is this a person a Christian? Well, it's a Catholic wedding. Well, I said, I didn't ask you that. Is the person a Christian? And I watched this person squirm in the inability to somehow say that this person was not just a Catholic, but was a Christian. And that caused me to reflect on a great deal. Because in my earlier years in ministry, when I was a Lutheran pastor through and through, we often talked about Lutheran baptism, or Lutheran communion, or Lutheran this or that or something else. And a wise old pastor, probably older than I am today, took me aside. And he said, you must stop labeling the Lord's ministry. The Bible doesn't talk about a Catholic confirmation or about a Lutheran baptism. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God over all. And those who are baptized into the fellowship of the church of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. That just seems so simple. Seems so absolutely simple and yet powerful. And as I move through the community over these last, well, Judy and I have been here about 30 years now, and during my 11 or 12 years as director of the Christian Homeless Shelter, I would speak in 50-some different congregations, and people would often ask me, what kind of minister are you? And, of course, I knew what they were getting at, but I said, well, I pray I'm a faithful minister of the Lord. No, what denomination are you with? Well, fortunately, by that time, having been served as the chaplain at the hospital with David Bailing for a couple of years, and then director of the homeless shelter, there was a non-denominational focus. So you weren't presented as a director of the homeless shelter, a Lutheran minister. You were the minister, you were the director of the shelter, and it was Christian shelter for all. So that helped to undergird my appreciation and understanding, but it also frightened me to a certain extent. We in this nation today are so eager to label people. We want to put labels on people. Maybe that's some way that we can accept them or receive them or pigeonhole. I don't know. But I believe this wounds the heart of Father God. He doesn't see black and white. He doesn't see rich and poor. He sees his creation, his children, every human being created in the image of Almighty God. Every human, therefore, every human life is precious to the Father. And it jolly well better be precious to the Father's children. There's a message right there, I believe, for all of us to consider. Now, I want you to turn to the second scripture and the only other scripture that I want to share with you today, which is in Ephesians, and it's in chapter 4. It's back there a little farther. The kingdom of God and the ministry of the church. Let's first of all start with verse 3 of chapter 4. Endeavoring. That means trying very, very, very hard. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why do we have to endeavor? Why do we have to try to keep the unity of the Spirit? Because the devil is working overtime to destroy the unity. Unity of the family. The unity of the church. The unity of the nation. Divide, divide, divide. So the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says it's up to us to endeavor to keep. We don't create unity. That's another falsehood. You and I don't create unity. Oneness and unity is a gift from Almighty God, but we are challenged to keep the unity in the bond of peace. And then this beautiful verse 4, because there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now that's a great, great, great focus on the subject of oneness and unity and the heart of Almighty God in creating us, the world, and those of us who dwell therein. But I want to proceed now down a couple verses to verse 10, where we get to the gifts. He speaks about the gifts that are given. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And now here is the list of gifts. By the way, this is one gift list. There are other gift lists in Scripture. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why'd he do that? Why'd he give those gifts? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The word perfecting here, teleos, does not mean righteous without sin. The word teleos in the original Greek New Testament means completed, finished, so that there may be the finishing of the work of the ministry of the saints, so that the body of Christ may be edified, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, that means a complete man, person, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now there is a clear, simple, direct statement of the kingdom of God and the ministry of the church. This is a blueprint that was not hammered out in the committee rooms of denominational headquarters. This was not something that was written down like the Declaration of Independence and sent across the country as a declaration. This is the heart of Almighty Father God. So what is that saying? Well, it's saying that the Lord, He's called every one of us to be ministers of the Church of Christ. One of the great, great, great precepts, doctrines, principles, whatever you want to call it, of the Reformation is the principle and the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. That isn't spoken about too much anymore today. But what does it mean? It means that in the church, the true church of the Lord Jesus, every Christian baptized, given over in his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, is called to be a minister. First of all, to minister to the Lord through prayer and worship and service. But also to minister to one another. That's called body ministry. To minister to one another. Very, very, very crucial that that ministry continue on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some churches do this far better than others. But there's a special qualification here in these verses I shared with you. Some individuals, by virtue of the calling of the Holy Spirit, share a particular office or a particular assignment in the ministry of the body of Christ. And they're listed there. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are individuals who, because of the will of Almighty God, as Paul introduced in Corinthians, because of the will of God, are called to specific offices of ministry within the body of Christ. And there is absolutely no word in the scripture that there's a Baptist prophet or a Lutheran evangelist or a Episcopalian apostle. Each of these truly called and ordained servants of Christ are servants of the kingdom of Almighty God. They serve at the behest, at the will of Almighty God. Or you might say, they serve at the behest of the King, King Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I pray that as you focus today a little bit on the 21 years of consistent ministry that Father God has permitted this congregation to have, that you understand that it is His heart that is being honored, glorified, and given thanks. We have a tendency in our culture today, I don't know, we have a lot of tendencies, to lift up celebrities, to lift up outstanding personages, and how much trouble that can get us into when we find that those that are exalted way above measure are just human. And they fall like any human. Who is to be exalted and to be lifted up is the Father who has given the gifts of the individuals that He has given. Now that does not simply include ministry gifts, the gift of someone who's a profound, accomplished musician. The gift of someone who has given way beyond measure. The gift of artistic capability. And we can go on and on and on. And one of the, I believe, disasters of our culture is in our teaching, in our counseling, we have not really led young people to study and to discover when you were created, when you were conceived, all that you would ever be is there. There's not going to be any add-ons that are legitimate. What you are is what you are. Therefore, it is imperative that to fulfill with anointing, not success, forget that word, anointing, blessing, to fulfill with anointing and blessing Father God's purpose for your life, you have to discover what His purpose for your life really is. Because He will have given you the gifts that are essential for you to accomplish the purpose for which you were created. Now, you may desire to be a great baseball player, basketball player, opera star, whatever, but if you have no gift and if you have no anointing, you're just a noisy brass or sounding cymbal. That is so crucial to the maturing and the growth of Christian young people and Christian families and Christian churches. Now, having said all of that, one score and 1 year ago, that's Lacanian speech. One score and 1 year ago, the Holy Spirit brought to this congregation an individual, unknown, unpretentiously brought here, introduced as the new pastor of this congregation. At that time, it was called the First Presbyterian Church of Bayshore. That so-called new pastor knew nothing. He knew nothing whatsoever about what lay ahead. He was told that in the Presbyterian system, an interim minister could only serve 2 years. And then he had to be gone because they didn't want interim ministers getting attached to local congregations or vice versa. And the congregation knew virtually nothing about this individual who was just kind of brought here, summoned here as the new pastor. Well, I can tell you a little bit about how that happened, and I learned something this week I didn't even know. I was able, by invitation, to speak here on Easter Sunday, 2001. The church did not have a pastor at that time. I was still with the Nehemiah Project, and one of my responsibilities was to speak in all the 52 congregations that supported the homeless shelter. So that particular Sunday, I was here. And I learned from some people that were here, some of whom are still here, that this church was probably going to close because it wasn't large enough to sustain a ministry, they thought. And they'd sent out a pamphlet, having done a denominational pastoral search study that was available if somebody wanted to read it, of what this congregation saw as its mission at that day and time. I requested a copy of that from Karen Stolt. Bless you, you're here today. You remember this, of course. She's the only person I knew by name here at that point. So she furnished me with this document, some multi-page document. I guess it's still somewhere in the file. I haven't seen it for over 20 years. I took it home and read it. And what struck me was, with all the questions and answers and questions and answers and surveys and on and on and on, the kind of the bottom line of the survey asked the people this question: what is your greatest desire in this congregation for a pastor to bring? And the one single word that was filled in was the word discipleship, to teach the people discipleship. Well, I hadn't thought much about that myself, but I agreed to meet with the pastoral search committee a few days later, and I only found out this week, Robert, that it was you who said to the chairman of the pastoral search committee, "You better get that guy." So I guess the Holy Spirit maybe used you in a way too, which I never knew about. Thank you. And so here we are, 21 years later, having walked through and passed through a lot of water, a lot of events, many miracles over and over and over. Some deaths, transmissions to eternal life. Two or three weddings that were a little strange after I found out about who was getting married. But the absolute, I believe, miracle of the putting together of this congregation and that minister who knew nothing at all about each other. But I recall one day hearing about this two-year deal, this two-year hiatus, and I spoke to Reverend David Van Dam, who was the district presbyter at that time, and I said, David, I've discovered something. I've been at Bayshore Church over 2 years. I'm not supposed to be there anymore. Oh, he said, we know that. Yeah, but I said, the rule says, the book says that an interim can only be in a church for 2 years. Yeah, we know that. Well, I said, how do you explain this? Well, he said, you're not an interim. I said, okay, if I'm not an interim minister, exactly what am I? He said, we changed your designation to designated supply. And there's no time limitation on designated supply. So there again, for whatever, however, Holy Spirit moved to extend indefinitely the length of this marriage, pastor and congregation. Now, some people have come here delighted to be in a congregation where the Word of God is literally spoken, taught, and believed as the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God. And some people have visited her here and have been way turned off by such a brash approach to believe that somehow this Bible is inerrant and infallible, and they've moved on to churches where you don't have to believe that. But those who are here, if you call yourselves a remnant, fine, have had the opportunity under the Holy Spirit to pursue a 21-year ongoing, unbroken ministry by the authority of Almighty God. Now, when Gwen and I talked a little bit about this Sunday being the Sunday of the 21st anniversary, I said to her, under no circumstances do you in any way lift up or exalt the person. We don't need to have any heroes or any persons lifted up. I was in a denomination where every year at the annual convention of the Lutheran Church, they would bring up all the old buggers who'd been in the ministry 50 years, and they'd give them this little 50-year pin. And oh, they'd clap and cheer, and they'd tell a little of their history about them, and sometimes there'd be quite a few of them. I remember this one June in particular, when we were down there in Columbus to the convention, they had a speaker at the banquet who was a really funny guy. I mean, he was a professor of English at the college, but he very, very, very humorous. And we sat there for quite a while on an unconditioned hot June evening in the dining hall. And finally, when he got up to speak, he said, thank God we didn't ask those pastors to sing one verse of their favorite hymn. He said, I've got to stand up and give my underwear a break. Well, the speech went on to be something more serious and profound than that, but I'll never forget that 25-year pin, 50-year pin. Well, what we want to do today, I pray to Almighty God, is to simply say thank you, Father God, for whatever reason, imperfections, flaws, whatever, you have given a sustained ministry and leadership to this congregation, and not just in the office of the pastoral office, but in all of the various leadership positions in this congregation. The leadership quality of this fellowship is miraculous. And I've said so many times that every gift that a local church would need to do its ministry is resident in this congregation. Every single one. And when one of those individuals has, for whatever reason, gone through death or transfer or whatever, sovereignly, the Lord has brought an unknown couple or person to fill that position. I think of Janet Lisenby, who's our current accompanist. So Father God is watching over this little fellowship in a very, very, very special way. He, and He alone, is worthy of our praise, our worship, and our thanksgiving for the gifts that Paul describes in Ephesians 4, the gifts of ministry that He has given in this place. Let us pray. Father God, we are humbled. We are humbled to sit in this fellowship, to serve in this fellowship, to be a part of this fellowship in whatever capacity You have called us to be Your servants. We are servants of the kingdom of Almighty God, called specifically to a local fellowship and church to carry out Your ministry according to Your purposes and Your vision. Strengthen, O God, this church in the resolve that is here to carry on, as the Holy Spirit of the Lord God leads. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the precious Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said,
Amen.
If you desire prayer, specific prayer, for any purpose, whatever, Brother Lloyd Peterson and a member of the prayer team will be up here in a couple of moments to pray with you, for you. Go in peace and with joy. Let us serve the Lord.